I should probably thank Kelsey, too. Might get in trouble if I don't. Thank you as well, honey. Will you join me in the unison prayer for illumination, printed in your bulletin? Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You know, one of the phenomena of Christmas is that people seem to somehow multiply in any given place. No matter where you go this time of year, you discover that there are more people there than have ever been there. No matter where you go. All year long, we park in parking lots that are mostly empty. Have you ever been to Target here and wondered why there are so many parking spots in Target? Well, if you've been in the last week, you know why. And then we go into stores that only have one or two checkout lines open when there are a good 15 lines there. That happens in Target here all the time. I guess I'm not, Walmart's a little exempt from that because it's always crowded for some reason. But we find that places have way more people than they ever do. Every year around the middle of December, we find ourselves having to park in the backs of parking lots, having to wait in line. We might even have to park in different zip codes. I actually saw this week someone parking across Mount Cross Road from Walmart because it's closer to park over there near Nani's than it is to park in the back of a Walmart parking lot, and that's a different zip code. 24540 is over on the north side there, and 24541 is down at Walmart. So people cross, it's probably safer to cross the road there than to walk around the Walmart parking lot too. So you'd think that if everyone was at the store, then there wouldn't be people anywhere else. But that's not true, because if you drive on the roads, there are more people on the roads. If you go over to somebody's house, there are more people on the streets, parked in front of these people's houses. Somehow, there are more people. Now, maybe everybody comes to Danville for Christmas. But that's not true, because if you go to Greensboro, if you go anywhere, there are more people there for some reason. Now, I was pondering this phenomenon this week, and I heard a story from somebody, and they said that back in those days, there were shops open every door on Main Street. And the Danville Christmas Parade would go down Main Street Hill. It would last about an hour and a half, and people would be about five deep. This is the day after Thanksgiving on Main Street. And then when the parade was over, everybody would go shop in the stores. It was the original Black Friday, I suppose. And that got me to thinking, maybe it's not that there are more people, maybe the entire world is just on the same schedule at this time of year. And that's what it is. Everybody has the same agenda this time of year. We all have to go shopping. We all have to go to parties. We all have to go somewhere around town. And that's why it seems like there are more people. We're just all on the same schedule. It's like rush hour, except all day, every day. In our stories from Scripture about Christmas, we find, especially in this Luke story, that everybody is on the same schedule. The way we hear Luke tell the story, he says, "In those days, a decree went out." It starts out as one of those back in those days stories. And it's important to remember the time and place. Luke is very careful about telling these stories to place them in a certain time, in a certain place. Because when Luke was writing these, a lot of his audience, especially the older folks in his audience, might have remembered some of these things going on. The people who were there, the decrees, the census. You can think of maybe some folks in their 70s, their 60s or 70s, who are hearing Luke's story for the first time and thinking, "Oh, I remember that census. Yeah, we were kids. We had to go somewhere and get counted." Back in those days, we had to go all the way down to Bethlehem to get counted. the emperor wanted to take a census. And even though it was the Roman Empire, Greek was the common language of the time. And the Greek word for census was apographo. Apographo. We've got a the Greeks in the audience. You want to try? Okay. Apographo. Literally, it means write upon. It's used for taking a roll, but it's also used to mean make an impression. It's used for copy, make a copy of. Or back when, I don't know if they were actually chiseling out the census because that would be pretty tedious, but I think that's where it came from. You make an impression on the stone. So you make a writing upon something that creates a whole. Make an impression. Well, everybody was going to the place where they had grown up, or the place of their homeland, or the place of their ancestors, so that they could be impressed upon the Roman census for the purposes of levying taxes, actually. But the census was a very powerful thing. The Roman emperor wanted to know how many people he was in charge of, how many people he could level taxes from, how many people existed in the kingdom. But at the same time, God also decided it was time to make an impression. And rather than having the people written down on something inanimate, God decided it was time to write himself into the people, to make his own impression. We were all created, of course, in the image of God, but as we hear in the first four verses of the book of Hebrews, Jesus is the impression of God. Jesus is that who was from the beginning. Jesus is the one, the full representation of the Father. Yet, he came as a baby. Not just an impression, but an impression that could grow on us. An impression who had already been growing on Mary for 9 months. Now, Jesus did come so that God's impression could be put upon us, so that we could be restored to that image, so that we could know the image of God and what he looked like and who he was and what his word meant. But of course, he did more than come to leave an impression. He came to leave his life as well. He came not just to be remembered, but to lay down his life so that we can be restored to that impression, to pay the price for sin, to call us to repentance, to offer forgiveness so that we can be restored to the original impression, the original image to which God called us. So it's important to remember the time and the place back in those days that Luke talks about. But there's a story here beyond time and place. And John reminds us of that. That this is not simply a baby being born, not even simply an important baby being born, but the God of the cosmos coming to life. As John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's John 1, 1 through 14. If Luke was the detailed, clear picture of Jesus' birth, this is the cosmic picture. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So while a decree from Caesar had put everybody in the land on the same schedule, we're also reminded that in this event, God inserts himself into our schedules. Or perhaps God shows us his own schedule. God shows us his agenda. Everyone in Luke's story had to align themselves with God's agenda, starting, of course, with Mary. Mary had a 9-month plan imposed upon her by God. Well, much more than 9 months, good number of years after that as well. Same goes for Joseph. Same goes for even the shepherds. Everyone in this story was suddenly a part of God's agenda, all on the same schedule, not realizing quite yet, many of them, whose schedule they were really on. Now, that's not to say it was easy when they did align themselves with the right schedule. Mary and Joseph could not get a room at the inn. That really shouldn't be surprising. It was Christmas Eve. Even if Joseph had saved up a bunch of rewards points, it was probably a blackout date anyway. Everyone was in town. Mary soon found that out when she tried to give birth, and all of a sudden there were shepherds and angels and wise men coming and gathering around. One of the interesting things in this passage is the contrast between Mary and the shepherds. If you noticed, one of the last lines of the passage that Joyce read was that Mary treasured up everything in her heart, but that the shepherds went proclaiming the good news and glorifying God. Very contrasting reactions from two of the groups in the story. And this was characteristic of Mary. There are other times when something would happen with Jesus and she would treasure it in her heart. And of course, she had been walking with Jesus for 9 months now. And he had been growing inside her. And she would continue to grow and see Jesus grow in her own household for years. The shepherds were out in the fields, and the word used for shepherds a couple times is suddenly. Suddenly an angel came to the shepherds. The shepherds went immediately. Suddenly they saw the baby there. So we have the shepherds and we have Mary. We have those who react immediately and proclaim loudly, and those who treasure things in their heart and keep them for a long time. Now we may think there are two different kinds of people who have those different kinds of reactions to God. But in reality, we are capable of having both those reactions. Sometimes there are things that God plants in us, that God sets in us, that take a long time to gestate. Things, plans that God has for us that we need to nurture, that we need to know the right ways to grow and think about and pray about. There are longer term plans that God has for us at different times and different places. But sometimes we're also like the shepherds. And honestly, as Presbyterians, I think we're usually a lot more like Mary. We treasure things in our heart a lot, but we don't run around proclaiming things all that often. But maybe we should. And if you're not Presbyterian, I hope you do. And if you are Presbyterian, I hope you try even more. We have the opportunities when God works in our lives to react like Mary, and sometimes that's appropriate, but we also have opportunities to be like the shepherds who jump at the opportunities God gives us, who go proclaiming whenever we see something good and something amazing. I mean, they jumped out of their fields away from their sheep to go see a baby. Now, a baby is an amazing thing, but they don't do a whole lot. But whenever you get an opportunity to look at a baby, you look at a baby. And even if a baby's not doing much, it's pretty amazing. Now, not everything God does in our lives is a baby, but God can do some amazing things in our lives that we might just ignore because they seem boring or simple. But if we go noticing what God is doing, if we acknowledge even the mundane things that God is doing, we're much more likely to recognize Him when He's doing the amazing things. Years after this incident, surely these shepherds remembered, as Jesus was doing His ministry and walking around, that they had seen Him. That they had seen this baby who had now grown into the Lord whom God had sent. Meanwhile, Mary continued to treasure things in her heart, continued to grow alongside Jesus and see Him grow. So sometimes we can be shepherds and sometimes we can be more like Mary. Wherever we are in our lives, we can also remember that God is still acting. That God is still willing and wanting to be born in new ways into our lives each day. That God wants to do things in our lives that calls us to ponder and to wait and to nurture His Word. And God also longs to do things in our lives that call us to proclaim and shout and go out glorifying Him. Hopefully you will see those things tomorrow, tonight, and in the coming days. And when you do, pray to God and ask Him what He's doing in your life, how He's calling you to act, and thank Him that He is acting and calling us to His Son to proclaim His glory and to cherish the word that He's given. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.